Oh.
Yeah. All right.
There she is.
It's just it's about
the
you.
Lady herself.
Right.
Not about right. you.
What?
Oh no.
Oh no.
Oh shit. No. Oh, Loki, man. Lady Loki. Oh, where? What is going on? This is not good.
Oh shit.
Oh no.
Somebody just bombed the sacred timeline.
Bro.
Oh man. Whoa.
That she did.
Hold on.
You gotta
Asgard,
be kidding me.
Ego.
There's
Titan.
So many names.
They got all the planets
There's
on
so
there.
Many
awesome.
Easter eggs there. Are you kidding me? What?
She's coming. Oh She's coming there.
Bro,
oh,
it's about
baby.
To go down.
Welcome back to New Rockstars. Loki episode 2 just ended by confirming Loki's sexual fluidity in the sexiest way possible, revealing Lady Loki is using dozens of stolen TVA reset charges to bomb the sacred timeline. But who is she, and what is her plan, or should we say, wait a damn minute. This is Inside Marvel, New Rockstars Loki After Show. I'm Eric Voss. My Easter egg breakdown of the episode's coming out later today, but here, right after watching the episode, we're here with MT.
Oh boy, oh man, what an ending to that episode, Eric.
I know.
Holy shit. Lady Loki didn't come to play.
We knew she was working towards something crazy, but we couldn't have imagined on this scale.
Oh,
that
no.
That looked amazing.
She is wrecking the timeline straight up.
Well, in this episode, the fugitive Loki variant uses mind control to kidnap a chronomonitor from a Ren Faire in 1985. And then while this is going on, Loki is joining Mobius on this investigation. They actually at one point debate the whole absurdity of their respective belief systems. They talk about jet skis. You know, we got to end the series with Owen Wilson on a jet ski. Just
oh, my God.
Loose.
Please. That's how it ends. The last shot. Owen Wilson on a jet ski.
Right. Final shot. Just drifting off into the sunset. That's what I want. Maybe Loki can be hugging him from behind, you know? Just get a nice Luca hug there.
No, we get that. It's a hard cut to black, and then we get Owen Wilson will return. Yeah. Just Owen Wilson, not Mobius, just Owen Wilson.
Yeah, just Owen Wilson. He'll be a variant playing some other character. Lightning McQueen. But the big reveal of this investigation is that this fugitive that they're chasing has been hiding in apocalypses throughout history. They proved this by going to Pompeii in 79 AD, right as Vesuvius is erupting. And Loki reasons that whatever branches would get formed by the result of that variant being there would just get erased by the apocalypse wiping everything out. They are able to triangulate the next location using that kablooey gum to the Roxcart store, which is basically like an Amazon shipping center, Amazon store of the future. Just a terrifying like a
Rocks
massive
on,
corporation that runs this town and a very bleak future of future superstorms wiping out coastal towns in the Gulf.
It's only 30 years away. Sounds pretty accurate
not
to me.
Too far. Yep. As this hurricane is hitting and this Loki is Loki reveals herself as Lady Loki. At least we think that's going to be her name, but it's pretty clear. It's Lady Loki. Sophia DiMartino is acting her, and she has been using these stolen TVA reset charges and stolen portal gateways to send these reset charges throughout the sacred timeline, causing all these branches, these chaotic branches. If you look closely, it looks like all kinds of Marvel planets, like everything that the MCU has set so far is on that list, including Ego, Xandar, Vormir, Asgard. It's all there. Yeah, in the Easter egg breakdown, I'll list exactly every date and what that could mean. But here, we just got to really talk about what Lady Loki's planning. I think that's the central question here. What's the next step? Before we get to that, be sure to check out our new latest obsession shirt, Loki Out of Time. These have been flying off the digital shelves over at newrockstarsmerch.com. I don't even know if I'll be able to get one to wear in videos. Hopefully, fingers crossed.
Mine. They're so good. Yes. They're so good. So freaking good.
Yeah. There's an entire Loki collection, actually. In addition to this shirt, there are other Loki shirts, including this augmented reality shirt, Loki prints, cell phone cases, a Miss Minutes sticker collection, Miss Minutes wall clock that MT has graciously allowed us to feature despite his romantic attachment to her.
My wife.
You know, my wife started funny, entered an uncanny valley of not being funny for a decade, and then now it's kind
and
of
now
back
we're back.
To funny again. Yeah. We've reclaimed my wife. But the collection looks amazing. Be sure to get your hands on something because it directly supports this channel. Mm. Also, of course, by getting the Loki Out of Time shirt, the best thing about it is you're going to get the ability to additionally write in a custom shout out that we're going to feature at the bottom of the screen during these after shows. And just to read a couple here, Jake Phillips said, "I told my boss that if I am late for work, it's okay because the TVA will just reset the timeline. Thanks, TVA." That's great. That's a valid excuse.
I like to think that thanks TVA at the end is like, "Thanks TVA, now I'm fired."
I'm on unemployment. No, I'm thanks, TVA. Catherine said, "Why does Loki buy cough drops? Because he doesn't want a Thor throat."
Oh my God. Catherine, I love you. Magnificent! Magnificent! Magnificent!
And then a serious question here. Taylor asks, "Do you guys think that there will be some kind of Thor or even a Frigga cameo?" Mm. Also, congrats on the wedding, MT. Did you get married to Miss Minutes?
Thank you. Obviously, yes. And I took her last name. Well, so it's official.
Oh, that's right. That's right. I should have remembered. How have I forgotten? My bad. But yeah, I don't know about a Thor cameo. I mean, technically, we have seen a Thor in a Frigga cameo through archive footage. But beyond that, maybe a Frigga cameo. I don't know if they're going to get Chris Hemsworth in the show. But Rene Russo, I could see showing up.
I mean, a Frigga cameo, I think, is highly, highly probable. Mm-hmm. Because they showed Frigga in that little flashback sequence. I think that's going to be a thing. But like later on, Thor, maybe we'll see a Thor variant. But yeah, maybe not Chris Hemsworth because that's a high.
An alternate Thor. Yeah. Do you think we'd see his brother, the actor, like Luke Hemsworth playing Thor in his alternate timeline? He's the
Thor
in that timeline.
That would be amazing. I would love that shit.
Well, again, check out all of our great Loki merch options at newrockstarsmerch.com. But MT, what's our first question?
Our first question of the day is, wait a damn minute, who is Lady Loki and what is her true plan?
Yes, good question. Well, a short answer, trying to do the short answers in here. Obviously bombing the sacred timeline, but I think that's just one part of the plan. The real plan, I believe, is to actually clear the TVA so that she can hold the timekeepers hostage, make some changes to their sacred timeline to set her up nice. But let's back up. Lady Loki, we all pretty much guessed from Fluid showing up as Loki's sex on that case file in episode 1 that this mystery Loki variant would probably be Lady Loki. Now in the comics, Lady Loki isn't so much Loki from an alternate timeline. She's really the spirit of Loki reincarnated into a female body after the Ragnarok event. It was a body made for Lady Sif, but Loki, to kind of screw with Thor a little bit, just went into that body and then lived on as Lady Loki. So it's not like we just try to come up with like a girl version of this. It's still Loki, but now the sex identity is that of a woman.
What an interesting prank. It's like, I'm going to become a woman to prank my brother Thor.
Right? I mean, yeah, it's fun. But it's also very on brand for Loki, right?
100%.
But in the MCU's case, I think we can assume from Sophia DiMartino's character, her horned crown, her common bond with Loki, that this is indeed the MCU's version of Loki, just a Loki from an alternate branch timeline. But she must be a past variant who has managed to avoid being erased by the TVA, because she's been at this for some time before this branch L130 Loki came into existence. So maybe her past timeline was pruned, but she was not. The way that our branch Loki, I think we saw that reset charge go off in Mongolia, that timeline was pruned, but Loki's just out of time with the TVA in the same way that I think Lady Loki's out of time, but not within TVA custody. She's been hiding in these various apocalyptic eras. Now, a lot of people are asking, but why is she female? Like, what does that mean? Well, Loki's sex is just indeed fluid. And I think he explained the difference between duplication casting, illusion projection, we were learning different Lokis have slightly different powers. And in her case, she can transfer her consciousness into different bodies and project her consciousness into another host while she goes about her business in her own body. So I'm thinking maybe that female body may have been just a random woman that this Loki spirit overtook and decided to stay inside of, which actually would be pretty similar to that comic's backstory, if you think about
it. Oh my God, I love that idea. What? I didn't even consider that. It's like, that couldn't even be the true Loki. What? Right. That's a good
one. Right, and the same way that there was like another Loki that looks like Tom Hiddleston, this is just like a body that she jumped into, and it's still Loki's soul and identity just carrying this vessel, you know?
Oh shit, what if it's Richard E. Grant, bro?
Like, hey, what? Now you're thinking, baby.
Yo, that bro, that's she, a
that
good
Richard
idea.
E. Grant is controlling her as a puppet. Yo, and then she's controlling
that would be
layers
the twist.
Of puppets.
Layers.
Puppet layers.
Layers.
Three-tiered puppet layer. It's really just a pyramid scheme. And it's the Illuminati eye, and it's all connected. And it goes all the way to the top.
We do see like a sort of image like that in the credits, right? With the variant. I think there's like a one stick figure in the circle, and then we have
that's
the
right.
Branches. Yep. So what if that one in the middle is like, I'm Richard E. Grant, and like I have these little. That's a really good idea.
I love it. That's what we're doing. We're all thinking on the fly. We just watched the episode, and we're trying to unpack it. We're figuring it out in real time. Now, we also have to note MT. It sounds like Lady Loki might be telepathic. Like, in addition to being able to touch someone's temple and control their minds, there's that moment when she lowers her hood, you hear all these voices echoing around.
What is this about?
This isn't about you.
And if you listen closely, it sounds like you hear Tom Hiddleston saying, what do you want? And what is this about? And then she answers that question by saying, this isn't about you. This might be just another layer to her powers because I don't think we heard Loki scream out loud, what is this about? That might have just been the panic in his brain that he was trying to hide by putting on a brave face, and she could read into his brain and just be like, you can't hide anything from me.
It's such a different power set than the Loki that we know, because like,
yeah,
he cannot do that. Like, the only mind control he could have done is through the Mind Stone when he had it in Avengers
right.
1. And but like,
that's right.
It just, I'm just wondering how varied these power sets are for each Loki, because like, we do get a glimpse of those little holographic projection that Mobius had before their little heist. And so we see a big Loki, and we see like different variations. Like, how different are these powers? Which is so interesting.
It sounds pretty different. It's not just like slight variations on a theme. These are completely different forms of sorcery, you know?
I wonder if it's just Loki or like, you know, Thor as well in different universes. Like, is there like different power sets for Thor? Like, it's just so interesting to me.
Or it does match with your line of thinking, MT, that this could be a very, very old Loki that's just picked up various forms of sorcery. Because Loki learned those sorcery skills from Frigga over time. He wasn't necessarily born with those skills. That was a learned kind of magic. So, because it's not like all frost giants are sorcerers, you know? So I think this could just be an older Loki that's picked up additional skills. I mean, we've already seen this Loki do things that he wasn't able to do before. He used telekinesis to summon a Roomba. You know, that wasn't something we ever had seen Loki do in the MCU, I don't think, right?
Yeah, I've never seen that before. So like,
and we know in trailer footage, he uses a green energy blast to like blast someone the way like Wanda Maximoff could. I don't recall him doing that.
I wonder
there's
if
all
he's
kinds of new skills
getting these new
up.
Powers gradually throughout the series because,
or maybe he's getting them from Lady Loki throughout this fight. She
that would
is
be so
powering
cool.
him up as a partner, you know, and just teaching him, unlocking new skills for him, and that's kind of the temptation, the lure, the reason he follows her through that time door.
Oh my god, that'd be so sick. Just Loki getting new powers, like sort of Mandalorian style. I dig it.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about her plan. She's obviously been stealing both reset charges and TVA portal opening devices. And now she's merging both of these, like dozens of them. And Loki correctly deduced that this variant has been hiding in apocalypses. That includes this Roxgart disaster of 2050. And the reason she's been hiding there isn't so that she can, you know, replenish her resources from this big Costco. It's so that it's this big warehouse space with a lot of shelves that she can hide stuff in case she's ever found. And she can gradually just like nestle something behind the TV screens, behind the Roombas, behind the plants, and just kind of go undetected so that she can do this all at the same time because she needed to be able to synchronize all this.
I love that whole apocalypse angle. It's like hiding in the apocalypse. Like, no one would think about that. It's just such a good hiding spot.
And an apocalypse in the year 2050, there's all kinds of weird gadgets and gizmos all over this store. No one's going to look twice at something that looks like just some kind of other radio equipment. Versus if you tried to do this in Pompeii or on Asgard or something like that, people can be like, the hell is this
what the
thing?
Fuck is this
yeah
the fuck is technology.
Yeah, so really this is all a stalling game, right? Like she just popped her mind to B-15 to all these other different people just to like give her enough time to sync it all up, but really she's doing this to rig up all these dozens of charges dropping throughout time and space. But it includes like New York in 1947, interesting year that I'll be looking into in the breakdown. Asgard in 2004, what was happening there? The Kree homeworld of Hala in the year 51 AD. Now we know the Kree are much older than humanity, and they kind of stopped their evolution at like thousands of years before us. So what happened in 51 AD on Hala to make Lady Loki choose that one? Or was it just random? I have to think it's all deliberate.
Yeah, I think it's deliberate too, because you have to remember with the Kree, there's this Kree, like a really long war between the Kree and Xandar. What if that has to do with that? Who knows?
To destabilize anyway. It, right. So obviously, yeah, this is a crisis that threatens to destabilize the entire sacred timeline in very specific ways. But the real threat, I believe, is yet to come, because the kidnapped Crota Monitor says right before this happens that Lady Loki now knows the location of the Timekeepers, something that Renslayer seemed to have as privileged information. And then Renslayer in particular watches in horror as all these Minutemen are rushing off to prune the branches, and she arms herself. And she probably realized that Lady Loki is coming to her, and that she really wanted to flush out all these TVA agents to leave the TVA undefended so that Lady Loki can sneak into the TVA and find the Timekeepers. And we know from the trailer footage that Lady Loki does infiltrate this place. We don't know how far she'll get, but the end credits, remember, teased that one floor, 1EJ, that said, access denied. That could be the chamber where the Timekeepers, or whatever the Timekeepers actually are kept. And we'll talk a little bit later this episode about what Renslayer might be hiding about the true nature of the Timekeepers. But my theory for now is that Lady Loki plans to find these Timekeepers to hold them hostage, or at least to force them to amend the Sacred Timeline so that the Sacred Timeline Loki, who still exists, by the way, he's continuing on to Asgard in the Infinity Saga history we knew before. That guy's still there. I think she wants to change that Sacred Timeline so that Loki gets replaced with this Lady Loki or whoever is controlling her, so that they no longer have to be a fugitive, that the world is theirs. But I also suspect that whenever Lady Loki gets there, she's going to realize that the Timekeepers are less of the divine forces that she thought. It's going to be kind of like a Wizard of Oz scenario. And the Wizard of Oz can't really give the Seeker exactly what they're asking for. He can't give someone courage. He gives someone a big medal, you know? So I think that's what she's going to find, that, you know, she's on her own story circle. And once you get what you think you want, you get disappointed and your goals change.
Oh man, like I do, like ever since you brought it up, like that Wizard of Oz angle has been like just in my head, because I love it. I love twists like that. I think that the idea of clearing out the Minutemen so that Lady Loki can infiltrate is right on the money there, because like there's just so many of them in there that like actually getting to the Timekeepers would be impossible. So like she's just making them all busy, like keeping them busy so that she can go in and do that thing. Though I think that Lady Loki, I just think that she just hates the idea of being controlled by fate. Personally, I think the Timekeepers are real. She just wants to destroy the concept of one timeline. Because it's just like, I don't like the fact that like, we're just stuck here. Like, let it all just go. Let it just be chaos. Because Loki is an agent of chaos. And they say that word repeatedly throughout this episode. And I believe episode one as well. So it's just like... Mm-hmm.
Hi, everybody. I'm Katie Segal.
And I'm Kurt Sutter.
And welcome to our new podcast called PIE, People, Influences, and Experiences.
Yes, it's sort of the get to know you at a deeper level, the who, what, when, where, and why you are, rather than what it is you do.
Absolutely. We're not going to talk too much about what people do. We just want to know about their families, where they come from, you know, what shapes their parenting if they have kids, what shapes their marriages if they're married. We just want to be really nosy. We want to get in there.
A deep dive into nature and nurture.
And we started it because there are a lot of people that we don't know that we are curious about.
Right. And I have no friends. So for me, it's, you know,
trying to get them out of the house.
Listen to it on whatever you listen to. Podcasts on?
Yeah, podcast, homecasts.
Your podcasting apparatus? Watch it on the YouTube.
He's aging himself.
We are
the real Brady Bros.
Brady Brothers from the TV show Brady Bunch. I'm Barry Williams.
And I'm Christopher Knight.
I played Greg. And who are you again?
I played Peter. We've decided that we're going to do a podcast around episodes of the Brady Bunch. We're going to use it as a prism to look back to our experience doing the show and why the Brady Bunch is still popular.
Have a sunshine day.
We are the real Brady Bros.
I think that she likes chaos and wants the multiverse of madness to occur, just because it means freedom.
Agreed. And I think all the Lokis kind of believe that on a philosophical level, that they thrive in situations of chaos. So I think that is their kind of their super objective, right? is mm-hmm. to have just situations where that are the most chaotic. But on a more specific level, I think she targeted these very specific dates one by one to find the moment mm-hmm. in that place's history where they're at kind of a fork in the road. And then they mm-hmm. went the fork in the road that led to the history, but it was kind of those watershed moments, right? Mm-hmm. To create a specific Nexus thing that would be even harder, the most difficult mess. For the Minutemen to clean up in that scenario.
Yeah.
So I bet if you look at each one of those dates, you'll see, oh, you know what? There was kind of a Nexus point. Things could have gone in another direction there. And that's why she chose the specific dates to make it specifically impossible to patch.
Goddamn, Lady Loki. You are one conniving, smart mastermind woman.
She's been at this for a long time. You have plenty of time to plan it. I bet, you know, given enough time, any of us can be the monster right? of the multiverse.
I wonder how long she's been doing this for. Because, like, time moves differently there. So, like, she's been she could be doing this for, like, hundreds of years. Who knows?
Decades. Yes. Millennia, for sure. There's a lot more to discuss from this episode. First, we want to thank some people who helped us make it, starting with our friends at Warby Parker. So, Warby Parker is committed to providing exceptional vision care online and in stores, offering eyeglasses, sunglasses, eye exams, and contact lenses. Glasses start at $95, including prescription lenses, sunglasses, progressives, and blue light lenses are also available. Need help choosing frames? We'll take the quiz, answer a few quick questions, and they'll suggest some great looking glasses that are totally personalized to fit your face and your style. I took their quiz and ordered a home try-on kit specifically for sunglasses to protect my beepers this summer. I really like the process because it allowed me to try on very different styles of glasses and see not only what fit and look best, but also what got the seal of approval from folks around me with better sense of style who are going to have to look at this face. Warby Parker sunglasses feature premium polarized lenses that are scratch resistant and provide 100% UV protection. And you can get the sunglasses with your prescription. So try Warby Parker's free home try-on program. Order 5 pairs of glasses and try at home for free for 5 days. There's no obligation to buy. Ships free and includes a prepaid return shipping label. Try 5 pairs of glasses at home for free at warbyparker.com/marvel. We also want to thank Keeps for sponsoring this episode. More than 50 million men in the U.S. suffer from male pattern baldness, and there are only 2 FDA-approved medications that prevent hair loss. Well, good news, Keeps offers both of them. Keeps has a simple, stress-free way to keep your hair. I personally hate going to the doctor's appointments for anything. It's never at a convenient time. You have to park. You got to sit in a waiting room. It's about as much fun as losing your hair is. Yeah. Keeps offers convenient virtual doctor consultations and medications delivered straight to your door every 3 months. You don't have to leave your home or go to the doctor or the pharmacy. Treatments start at just $10 per month, and Keeps offers generic versions to keep the costs low. Their proven results arrive to your doorstep in discreet packaging. Keeps has more 5-star reviews than any of its competitors. With hair loss, prevention is the key. Treatments can take 4 to 6 months to see results, so you gotta act fast. And if you're ready to take action and prevent hair loss, go to keeps.com/marvel to receive your first month of treatment for free. That's keeps.com/marvel to get your first month free, keeps.com/marvel. And we want to thank Credit Karma Money for sponsoring this episode. We all like instant gratification. With Credit Karma Money, you could win cash reimbursements for debit purchases. Credit Karma Money is a brand new checking account where you can win cash reimbursements for making purchases. When you use your Credit Karma Money debit card, you can win daily instant karma purchase reimbursements on items up to $5,000. Just pay with your debit card, and if you win, you'll be notified on the spot and your instant karma cash will be added back to your spend account. Credit Karma Money has already given away over $3 million in instant karma to 50,000 Credit Karma members. Open your FDIC-insured spend account for free. There's no minimum balance requirements, no overdraft fees, and free withdrawals from a network of over 50,000 ATMs. So right now, visit creditkarma.com/winmoney to open your free account and start winning instant karma. Go to creditkarma.com/winmoney to sign up for free and start winning instant karma. That's creditkarma.com/winmoney. Instant Karma is sponsored by Credit Karma. No purchase necessary. Exclusions and terms apply. See rules. Banking services provided by MVB Bank, Inc. Member FDIC. Maximum balance and transfer limits apply. So MT, our next wait a damn minute. Where are the timekeepers? And do you think Renslayer is telling the truth about them?
Well, I personally do think that Renslayer is telling the truth about the timekeepers and that the timekeepers do exist. Though, you know, I'm not 100% sure because, like,
in this episode, they do talk about the idea of, you know, belief and, like, you know, belief in a higher power, sort of, because, like, you know, the humans believe in gods, like the Asgardians, and, like, the Asgardians don't really believe in any other gods above them. So this idea of the timekeepers being introduced, it's like they could not be real. They could very well not be real, or they could be what I believe to be the MCU's take on a Marvel group of beings called Those Who Sit Above in Shadow. And if you guys aren't familiar with this, in the comics, they're basically the gods of the Asgardians. And, like, they take the energies of Ragnarok to sustain them, and they feed off of that energy. But I think Marvel Studios could be taking the Timekeepers and this concept of Those Who Sit Above in Shadow, smush them together, and could be using the Timekeepers as this force that uses the forces from, you know, each timeline, each rotation of the MCU throughout time to sustain themselves.
No, I like that idea. That might be why they have the sacred timeline. It's kind of like an energy beam, a stream that feeds them. And with a multiverse, they don't get a nice hearty meal. They just snack throughout the day, and that doesn't sustain them as well.
And we see in the trailers, in the promo material, we see that, like, that rainbow, like, stream around that rock thing. And I think that that's the timeline that they suck energy from.
No, I like that idea a lot, MT. I want to clear something up. When I'm saying that, like, the timekeepers might be part of some suspicious nature, I'm not saying they don't exist, that someone's just lying about their existence. I'm just saying they aren't the exact gods that Ms. Minutes said they are.
Right.
Like, that they're... Because in the comics, they were artificial. They were constructed by someone. Mm. And that's what I think is happening in the show, that there's someone else who is controlling them, or someone else who built them. But I'm not saying that they're not in existence at all. Obviously, I think they exist.
Yeah.
I just think that someone else is pulling the strings to them.
Okay.
So that's why I'm saying they're not real. I'm just saying they're puppeted. They're there. There's something there. But, like, when she says the timekeepers, I think she is referring to a more complex story there than what we saw in the Miss Minutes cartoon. Because Renslayer, like, the fact that Mobius said he's never actually seen them, you know, only Renslayer or maybe a couple other people have actually seen them. I think when we actually see them, it's not going to be exactly what we have seen in these statues and in the cartoon. There's just going to be something more to them. And I think it might just be like a little man who looks like Richard E. Grant who's behind a curtain who's pulling a bunch of levers or whatever it is, you know, or someone who's like, I created these things. They're now out of my control. You know, there's just more to that story. And I think we're hinting more and more of that in this episode. And I think that secret is what Renslayer is more afraid of getting exposed. The fact that things are redacted in the end credits. There are lies, there are secrets, there's cover-ups, there's all kinds of things to the TVA's story and their agenda that Renslayer doesn't want getting out there. And I think that's what Lady Loki wants to expose.
I feel like that makes sense given what we do know about this. You know, we don't know a lot about the multiversal war, but let's say that there was a war and that the aliens and all that stuff fought in this war. What if regular alien people won? They became these timekeepers. They have this, like, you know, access to this power, but, like, they're just regular people, you know? And I see what you're talking about with the whole Oz element, because they could just be just regular, just not all that powerful people, but, like, they're just boosting up their myth. So it's like, yeah, we're awesome. We're pretty cool. You should respect us. Don't even wonder what we're doing behind the closed doors.
In the same way that, like, Uncle Sam is a symbol, you know?
Yeah.
Those symbols are very real to people. They matter to people. They inspire people. They mean things. Exactly. But, like, it doesn't mean that there is a giant Uncle Sam who's going to drag you and force you to go to war, you know?
I'd like to think that there's a giant Uncle Sam mech that we have.
Yeah,
but in case shit goes down.
1A! 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 You're fighting! Yeah. That's essentially what he is, though. It's just really what that is. It's draft boards. Mr. Potter from It's a Wonderful Life. It's some crazy old withered man in a wheelchair. And that's what Richard E. Grant is. That's what I've just believed in my life experience. That everyone pulling the levers of power is some just terrifyingly old man who should have died decades ago. All right, what's our next question?
Our next question is, wait a damn minute. what is Miss Minutes exactly? A recording, an AI, or something else like my wife?
Yeah, there was that interesting moment where Loki was swatting her with the rolled up jet ski magazine. Yes, he's like, what exactly are you? Are you listening to me right now? Yeah, and also what's weird about her is she's a function on that. She's a selectable function on that device. Like, right. In the elevator, you can also push a button. What does it mean to push a Miss Minutes button? Yeah. Does that mean she's going to pop out as a holo projection that moment and be like, what do you name me for, friends? And then, like, kick people in the knees and giggle and run away. Like, what the hell is she? I'm wondering if she is a living artificial intelligence, right? She's not a recording, obviously. She's responsive in the moment. She could either be sorcery or technology. I'm leaning towards she's TVA technology. And in the way that, like, the Kree Supreme Intelligence was kind of this advanced technology that controlled everything in that civilization, I think that could be what Miss Minutes is. She could even be some kind of program that is tied with the Timekeepers. She is the public face of the Timekeepers in a way, to where she's this kind of cute, easy to digest thing. But the more and more you start to pull at the threads of her, she's like, I'm not going to give you any answers, sort of. Hey, show some manners. And she'll jump back into her little computer. But yeah, I think she's kind of like the TVA equivalent of the Kree Supreme Intelligence. That's my theory, at least.
That, okay, interesting. What I also found interesting is that she did dodge Loki every time he tried to hit her.
He wasn't able to make contact with her, yeah.
Yeah, but like, I would assume that she was just like this projection that he could just like zoom through. So like, why did she feel the need to hop around? And then just hide into the computer. Like, I wonder why she felt that need.
Yeah, I know. Does she feel pain?
Yeah, like, is she right? Running on some type of, like, hard light technology that makes her physically real? Like, it's very interesting to me. I wonder why she dodged.
Yeah, I think it's like almost like genie magic. Like, genies are just smoke, but they don't want you putting your hand through them. Or ghosts, the same way. Like, that feels weird to do it. It's rude. And it's disrespectful. And I think respect matters a lot to her.
Exactly. I mean, I would know more than most because I've been kicked out of the house and a couple of times sleeping on the couch because of accidental disrespect. Won't do that again.
Yep.
Sorry, Ms. Do that again. Sorry, boo-boo.
MT, I want to ask you another question.
Yes.
Wait a damn minute. Who is Justice Renslayer's other mystery analyst that she keeps on the side from Mobius?
The pen, eh?
Franklin D. Roosevelt High School pen.
Yes, we're definitely going to get some more information on that in the future because like they're obviously setting that up. I don't think that it's another mystery analyst. I have this weird feeling that Renslayer has like a secret life on the side. I think that, you know, that pen is probably from like a, I don't know, like parent-teacher conference. And she has like a daughter. She's like, hey, my daughter's in high school. And like, here's her pen from that thing that we did.
Oh,
and like,
cool.
She's secretly like, you know, breaking the rules, even though she's like this, like, I love the rules, all this stuff. But like, she has a secret thing because it's just bureaucracy all day, every day. Like, she needs purpose.
Uh-huh.
So I have a feeling that that's what that's about, but I don't know.
I like that idea a lot. Yeah, I think the fact that it's Franklin D. Roosevelt High Schools didn't start getting named after FDR until probably, what, after World War II, I would say. So that kind of places whatever that point in the timeline is from 1940s, late 1940s onward.
Yeah.
And I'm wondering if that other analyst could be some other kind of past analyst that she's kind of hush-hush about. That could be her loved one, Immortus, a.k.a. Kang the Conqueror. And that could have been some... Because I keep clinging to this. As a member of the Kang Gang, MT,
Kang Gang.
I love this idea that Kang could have been a member of the TVA, an agent, a former director of it, one of the timekeepers, someone involved with the TVA to have been involved with Renslayer in the past, and that Renslayer isn't proud of it, but she has this ongoing affection for this person who went rogue, whether by stealing one of the Power Stones from the Evidence Locker or Time Stones from the Evidence Locker and going crazy. Could have been some other variant that she just let go. And this is just something that she keeps as a symbol of it because clearly she has a some kind of friendship, at least, with Mobius. But like he has a familiarity with her. And she even gives him more leeway than she probably would another analyst, you know? But the fact that she's not telling him about that shows that there are barriers between them. They could have chosen any TVA character from the comics. They chose Renslayer. You know,
yeah, exactly.
It's just, is it just like a random character or is that Kang connection important?
I think that it is probably going to be important because they don't just choose names like that for no reason. I think that is going to be significant. I think you are barking up a very good tree.
We have a few more questions we want to talk about, but one more person helped us make this episode. Thank you to Magic Spoon for sponsoring us. Lots of us are trying to eat better, but healthy breakfast doesn't have to be boring, right? Well, Magic Spoon has the amazing flavors that you love, but without all the bad stuff. Magic Spoon has 0 grams of sugar, 13 to 14 grams of protein, and only 4 net grams of carbs in each serving. That's only 140 calories a serving. It's keto-friendly, gluten-free, grain-free, soy-free, low-carb, and GMO-free. Order yourself a variety pack that comes with 4 flavors, cocoa, fruity, frosted, and peanut butter. Get wild and mix up some of the cocoa and peanut butter flavors in the same bowl. Kind of tastes like a peanut butter cup. Just imagine the flavor combinations. So go to magicspoon.com/marvel to grab a variety pack and try it today. And be sure to use our promo code MARVEL at checkout to save $5 off your order. And Magic Spoon is so confident in their product, it's backed with a 100% happiness guarantee. So if you don't like it for any reason, they'll refund your money, no questions asked. Remember, get your next delicious bowl of guilt-free cereal at magicspoon.com/marvel and use the code MARVEL to save $5 off. And thank you to Magic Spoon for sponsoring this episode. Now, MT, I have another question for you. Wait a damn minute. How does the TVA compare in terms of power status to other Marvel deities? Things like Celestials, the Watchers, Galactus, the Elders. Because we had this whole moment of, like, them comparing their belief systems. Like, what is God to them? How do you think the Timekeepers line up with all that?
We actually did a big question on this, me and Marina, that should be coming out really soon. And
Can't wait to see that.
I met Marina for the first time then, and she's great. So you should look out for that one. So the TVA is very much up there on the Marvel hierarchy because they essentially live outside of the universe, outside of time and space. And a lot of, you know, the Marvel hierarchy exists within the Marvel universe. And so since they exist outside of that and they have authority over the Marvel universe, then that means that, you know, though your beings like the, you know, Celestials and your Watchers and all that, they have, you know, a higher jurisdiction than that. That is what I believe to be the hierarchy there. But what do you think, Eric?
I mean, obviously the TVA has some formidable power for sure. The fact that within the TVA, magic doesn't really work. The Infinity Stones aren't usable in that boundary. It just depends what the ultimate source of the TVA powers is. Is it the Timekeepers themselves? Is there some force beyond the Timekeepers or the TVA that really supplies the power? But the fact that they can trump Asgardians is a pretty big deal. Or in this case, Frost Giants. It makes me believe that they'd probably be able to arrest Eternals like Thanos and the other Eternals.
Sure.
I don't know if they'd be able to beat the Celestials just because the Celestials can kind of do anything.
See, I think that they could easily do that. I think that, like, in a scenario where, like, let's say that they wanted to arrest the Celestial, they would, like, arrest him, and then the Celestial would come in like the same size and form as a human being.
Because
I feel like a lot of the Celestial power comes from being rooted inside of a universe. And, like, once you take anything powerful, like the Infinity Stones or, you know, a Celestial or whatever, out of their native universe, all of their power becomes inert. That's why Loki couldn't use his magic. Like, anything that you could do inside the main Marvel or whatever universe you come from, that's done. Because I feel like the TVA has the same authority as the Living Tribunal. Like, I think they're on the same level, but, like, different, you know, departments and shit. So, like, you know, I do feel like Celestials and Galactus and your Watchers and all that would probably be as depowered as Loki in that scenario. And they usually fall within their cosmic purpose, so, like, you wouldn't see a Celestial or Galactus in the TVA because they're serving their universal function.
No, that's a good argument, MT, because, like, it's so hard to compare the power statuses of things like Eternity, you know, to Kronos, because they're all just, like, living embodiments of abstract ideas.
Yeah.
It's not really even possible for them to wage war against each other because it's like the way it's set up in Marvel Comics is like Living Tribunal is kind of the ultimate legal authority, you know? And if you think of the TVA as like a legal institution with courts and judges and prosecutors and things like that, it seems like they would probably fall right underneath the Living Tribunal. I don't think they're above the Living Tribunal.
Exactly.
Living Tribunal is like the Supreme Court justice, and then the TVA is like the, you know, an appellate court that's right underneath
exactly.
that.
Exactly. That's a good
idea. But that appellate court can prosecute anyone. Like in the American legal system, you know, pretty much anyone is supposed to be under the law unless you have a very interesting interpretation of the second article of the Constitution, as some of our recent presidents have. But we won't get into that here. That will be a different podcast series channel in the future where I'm allowed to be political.
Inside politics.
Well, that will be it for this episode of Inside Marvel. The next video on the channel will be the Easter egg breakdown, all the little details you missed in episode 2. Now, next week, some personal stuff has come up that I have to go handle, so I'm not going to be here for Inside Marvel, but we're going to have a special guest up here with MT, so stay tuned for that. And throughout this week, you're going to see plenty of wonderful Loki videos, so hold on to your butts. Be sure to subscribe to New Rock Stars. Check out our great merch options at newrockstarsmerch.com. Follow me at EAVOS. Follow MT at Mastertainment. Thank you for watching. We'll close with our favorite moment of the episode.
And stole their research on as well.